fourth canto, Bhagavad Leelas. This is about the story of King Prachinabarhi and the allegory comparing his life to the story of Paranjana. The eldest son of King Prithu, who is known as Antardhana or Vijit Ashwa, he became the emperor of the world after his father, King Prithu, gave up his body in the mystic fire of Bhakti Yoga. And he appointed his brothers as government posts. Indra appreciated that previously Vijitashva did not attack him, so he blessed him with the mystic power of Prakat Aprakat, appearing, disappearing at his own will. And because he had this, possessed this power, because of this power, he got the name Antardhana. He begot three sons, Pavaka, Pavamana, and Shuchi, who were previously, in their previous life, gods of fire. They took birth as human beings due to a curse from that great Muni, Vasishtha Rishi. Maharaj Antardhana, or Vijitashva, didn't want to punish his citizens or even to take taxes from them. Quite an unusual emperor. So he retired from his royal duties at an early age. He spent most of his time hearing and chanting about the Lord and engaged in other various activities. Soon he achieved the ultimate goal of life, returned to Vaikuntha, or went to Vaikuntha. One of the sons of Antardhana, Vijitashva, King Havardhan, one of his sons was named the King Barishat. He was also called Prachin Abarhi. He was expert in fruitive activities and also in mystic yoga. He married the daughter of the ocean, Shatadruti, who is very beautifully. When she was circumambulating the marriage yajna, Agnidev, the god of the fire, he became attracted to her. She was so beautiful. This king Prachinabarhi and his wife Shatadruti produced 10 famous sons known as the Prachetas. And they in turn, on their father's order, produced children and their wives, and then they left home to engage in performance of austerity for 10,000 years. They came in the mountains to a beautiful lotus-filled lake, and they appreciated that atmosphere. But they heard some kirtan coming nearby. And from that lake that they were bathing in or meditating next to, Lord Shiva came out of the water along with so many musicians, and everybody was glorifying him. He was, although his throat was nilakant, bluish, the balance of Shiva's body was a brilliant molten golden color. He glancing with his merciful eyes upon his devotees. Prachetas offered obeisances naturally at the feet of Lord Shiva. And Shiva addressed them, "I know why you've come here, to give me mercy. You should know that anyone who has surrendered to Krishna is very dear to me. Anyone who directly serves Lord Vishnu will go to the spiritual world. Listen carefully. I will chant a mantra. It is a fantastic prayer to help one attain the goal of life." She recited the following prayer or mantra, which is actually many, many shlokas or verses from the fourth canto, which are glorifying the form of Lord Vishnu, his beauty, and his service. bhakti or devotional service. So this, of course, is chapter 24 of the fourth canto, known as Rudra Gita. We have Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita. So this is the Gita, Rudra Gita, the song of Lord Rudra, Lord Shiva. So there's so many nice prayers there. Om Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Narayan, Narayan. Lord Shiva said, "O the Supreme Personality of God and Bhagavan Sri Krishna, you are the Paramatma and you are Chaturvyuha. Your complexion looks like a monsoon cloud, glistening with rain. Your beautiful features are sparkling. Your lovely face is exquisite, with its lotus petal eyes, raised nose, and enchanting, captivating smile. Your black hair is curly and exceptionally beautiful, and sidelong glances ornament your eyes. Blowing in the wind, your garments are glittering, and your earrings, everything looks so beautiful and so natural. Your shoulders resemble the powerful shoulders of a lion, and the effulgent, translucent Kostubha mani dangles from your chest. The golden hair of Lakshmi, or rather Shivats, excels that beauty of the golden streak found on the representing Lakshmi Devi. You move your eyebrows and they appear as time and vanquish the entire universe. You are the supreme authority over everyone. Anyone who is learned understands that all this world will come to an end, and all his creations and his designs and plans will be smashed by the powerful force of death and time. So therefore, he knows that everything is worthless unless he worships you. So he spends his life worshiping you, and that way, and thereby attains the fruit of his human existence. As they're finishing his Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva instructed the 10 Prachetas, "Please chant this prayer while fixing your mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. And by doing this, you'll become learned and achieve the greatest perfection of human life very quickly." The Prachetas remain underwater for 10,000 years, or rather, excuse me, standing, and every day recited the Rudra Gita, presented to them by Lord Shiva. Meanwhile, their father, Prachinabarhi, was doing all kinds of karmakandiya yagyas. Narada Muni, feeling compassion, visited these yagya shala of King Prachinabarishat, and he preached, Narada preached to him about spiritual pursuits and spiritual life. "Listen, King, I'm going to use my mystic power and show you all the animals that you have killed so mercilessly by doing all your hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of yagyas, karmakandiya yagyas. Just see, floating in the sky above your head, with all their horns are made of iron, and they're going to pierce your body out of revenge. If an animal is sacrificed properly, it can be immediately promoted to the human form of life. But there's some problem or discrepancies in the yagya, then the judgmam is responsible. So you understand all these things, I'm going to tell you an ancient history, an allegory, about King Paranjan. I heard this story, actually, the story that Narada Muni went to narrate to King Prachinabarishat was actually autobiographical or biographical. It was all about the king himself, that the so-called King Paranjan in this allegory is actually analogous or represents or is the foolish, attached, non-visionary king himself, Prachinabarhi. Narada tells personal anecdote in the course of this whole allegory of King Paranjana and the city of his body and his attachment to sense gratification, and all the different details of this large analogy. Narada says, listen, King Prachina Barishat, to whom he was narrating this allegory of Paranjana. I was on the coming to the earth planet, and while I was here, I met the personification of old age named Jara. When she saw that I was a lifelong brahmachari, Jara became very lusty and begged me to accept her. I refused, and she got angry and said, you'll never be able to stay in one place for a long time. So I told her to approach the Yavana King Baya, and he finally married her. King Prachina Parhi, I told you this long story so you become self-realized and understand Krishna. Nice discussion about the mind. Narada Muni is saying, listen, King Prachina Parhi, the mind is a storehouse for unlimited thoughts and experiences that we've collected from previous lives. As a result of these previous experiences stored in our citta, we may suddenly think of, dream about something that we have never experienced in the present life. So this is a proof that this particular event was experienced in a previous or former past life. For one cannot concoct anything mentally unless one has received it either in this or previous lives. Of course, the mind can combine separate occurrences to create something that has never been before experienced. One may have seen a mountain, and separately one may have seen gold. Then at night, under the influence of illusion, the mind can create an image of a golden mountain in one's dream. So meanwhile, Prachita spent 10,000 years chanting a mantra in the water, and the Lord became so pleased that he gave Sakshatkara. They got direct darshan before the Prachitas. They were very satisfied to see that most gentle and pleasing form of the Lord. Vishnu was seen standing on the shoulders of his Vahan, Garud, very beautiful with his eight arms. And he spoke to them and said, you can ask for benediction. I'm very pleased with all your yagyas and activities. You followed your order to populate this world, and you've done it. In this chapter, chapter 30, 31, there's some nice... But in this chapter, some interesting verses were spoken, which Prabhupada liked. Lord Vishnu spoke one verse in chapter 30, here in verse 19. Kriheshva vishatam chapi pumsam kushala karmanam madvarta yatta yamanam nabandaya grihamataha. Lord Vishnu told the Prachetas, those who are engaged in auspicious activities of devotional service, kushala karmanam, of all activities certainly understand that the ultimate enjoyer or beneficiary of all activities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, when one acts, he offers the results to Krishna, and passes life always engaged in the topics of the Lord, even though such a person may be participating in family life, he is not affected by the results of his actions. This is a verse by the Prachetas, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Verse 35. Yatredyante katam mrishtas trishnaya prashamoyata naivaryam naivaram yatra bhuteshu no dvego yatra kashchanaha. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, The members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another. So they do not suffer from anxiety or fear. So finally, Prachetas burned up all the trees that had grown rather profusely all over the earth. And then the forest god sent his daughter Marisha, and all the princes, the Prachetas, they accepted her as their wife. Prachetas ruled the earth for thousands of celestial years. They put their son Daksha in charge of their wife, and the ten Prachetas met Jajali Rishi, and they learned how this mystic yoga system and Krishna consciousness. Narada Muni again visited them, and the Prachetas talked with him. We almost forgot the instructions Lord Shiva had previously given us. Therefore, kindly enlighten us once again with Divya Gyan so that we can cross this samsara. So then Narada Muni started preaching to them again, like the old days. And many, many verses he tells them. Finally, he concludes his pravachan by saying, just observe yourself in Krishna Bhakti. Be merciful to everyone and self-satisfied. Control your senses. And that way you can satisfy God. So this Prachetas, the son of King Barishat, by the Harikatha of Narada, he became firmly attached to Vishnu. And they eventually went to the spiritual world upon giving up their body. In this context, in Narada Muni's brief pravachan, he gave a very important verse about Ananya Bhakti, or fixing our minds on Vishnu or Krishna worship without being deviated or distracted by worship another god. Ita taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujopashaka pranoparachayatendriyanam tateva sarvarhanam achyutejya. Narada Muni told the Prachetas, as pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta Sri Krishna, through bhakti, automatically satisfies all the demigods who are parts of the Supreme Personality. So this is a nice reminder to all of our Indian listeners who may be somewhat attached to various demigod worship along with worshiping Krishna or Lord Ram. But we need not worship anyone but the Supreme Lord. That concludes a rather quick overview of Canto 4. And when we start the next Bhagavad Leela, we'll start with Canto 5.